You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This thought has been resounding in my mind. And it's this word, miracle. Christmas speaks of the miraculous, that with God all things are possible, that nothing is impossible without God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with our God. That's the Christmas story. So let's share this, and let me share just a few thoughts, and then we're going to pray for miracles. Somebody say amen, and then we'll sing a Christmas carol, and we'll go. But in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, it says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Can we declare that together? "For nothing will be impossible with." One more time, let it ring out. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from there. The angel of the Lord appears to Mary and says, "Mary, you have favor with God. You are going to have a baby without a man. Impossible. Your baby is going to be the Son of God. Impossible. God is going to come to your earth as a human being, as a baby. Impossible. But nothing is impossible with God." Those same words that Gabriel declared are the same words he would declare to us today, this Christmas season. Nothing is impossible with God. The Christmas story, the angel Gabriel greeting her and telling her she's had favor. She's going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus, Son of the Most High. He's going to sit upon the throne of his father David. He will oversee the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will reign forever and ever. You're going to have a baby, the Son of God, whose kingdom will never end. And Mary asked a very reasonable question. In Luke 1:34, She said, how can this be? How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. I have never been with a man. It seems unbelievable. How is this going to happen? Is Joseph going to be a part of this plan? Who is this baby's father going to be? And the angel spoke that the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary and that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, that God will be the father of this baby. Not through a sexual union, but by the power of God. Life would be planted in Mary's womb, and this new life would be Jesus, the Son of God. This part of the story, the virgin birth, has always been met with skepticism. And today, there's great theological debate. It's a dividing point for many denominations. But without the virgin birth, you have no plan for salvation. If this baby is simply a baby born by man, he cannot take the sins of the world. He is both God and man. A lot of people find it unbelievable, and understandably so. Why? Because a virgin birth is impossible. We all know where babies come from, right? If you don't, ask your mom and dad when you get in the car on the way home. But a virgin birth is impossible. If you find the virgin birth to be unbelievable, you're not the first. Mary thought it was unbelievable. She knew it was impossible. Mary knew where babies came from. And she must have been as skeptical as anyone. And then the angel assures her that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And then Gabriel gives her an example and said, Mary, your own cousin, Elizabeth, she's old, she's barren, she's never had a child, never thought she could have a child. Now she's beyond being able to have a child. And Gabriel said, I want you to know Aunt Lizzie's having a baby. And of course, who's that baby? That baby's John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Another miracle in the Christmas story. And then the angel declares those words after helping her to understand, even Aunt Lizzie's having a baby, it's a miracle birth, for nothing is impossible with God. Let's declare it again. For nothing is impossible with, one more time, for nothing is impossible with God. See, the angel was saying, sister, you gotta believe this. You, a virgin, are having a baby, the Son of God. Nothing is impossible with God. Say, Pastor, do you really believe the virgin birth? Why, yes. Because I believe in God. And nothing is impossible with God. You say, Pastor, do you believe in the incarnation, that God became man? Yes. Why? Because I believe in God and nothing is impossible with God. Now listen good. I share all that to get us to this moment. There's a backstory to this phrase. Nothing is impossible with God. See, we grow up with this idea, this expression, this thought. My dad can do anything. How many grew up thinking that? My dad can do anything. or my grandpa can do anything. That's what I want to be to Freddie and Ida and all the rest of the multitude of grandchildren that's coming along. Grandpa can fix it. I want their daddy to always be their hero. I just want them to think Grandpa could fix it. I figure I'll be alive until Freddie's 30 or 35 years old. And I think about that, and what do I want him to remember? I want him to remember his grandpa loved Jesus and loved him, and my grandpa could fix it. Right now, if you ask him what he wants for Christmas, he'll say, Paw Patrol. And who's going to get that for you? Pawpaw. Pop-Pop, here's what he says, Pop-Pop's going to buy it for me. So right now, it's not Pop-Pop can do anything, it's just Pop-Pop can buy anything. Well, there was a back phrase. Like we think my dad can do anything, my grandpa can do anything. There's a back story. It's like a proverb for the Jewish people. And it's this, that with God, all things are possible. See, the Jewish people understood this. Now watch this. This is amazing. They understood Old Testament. They understood the scriptures. And early on in Genesis 18, Abraham and Sarah was about to have a baby. Anyway, God had promised that they would have a baby. Abraham happens to be 99 years old. Sarah is 89. This would have been on the front of the National Enquirer. These things didn't happen. In fact, Sarah laughed. And I, in some ways, understand. I thought, what is she laughing at? Is she laughing at Abraham, 99? Is she going, we're going to have a baby. Do you know my husband's 99? Moms and dads, read between the lines. Was she laughing at the thought of Abraham? Or was she laughing at the thought of her being 89? But guess what? The Lord speaks in the midst of that and says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, it says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'm going to return at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Watch. The Septuagint is the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. The Greek phrase here is almost the same as the angel's words to Mary. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is impossible with God. Listen, watch. This is not the first time Mary has heard the words, Mary, with God all things are possible. Because she was a good Jewish girl. And she knew her Old Testament, and she knew what God had spoken to Abraham and Sarah, and what was impossible became possible with God. And it would have encouraged her to have trust God to fulfill her word or his word. Somebody say amen. See, she had heard it before, Sarah. For Mary, with God, all things are possible. She thinks Abraham and Sarah. Do you know that Abraham and Sarah had Isaac? And Isaac means laughter. And so this back story, this phrase, with God, all things are possible, had with it this attitude of laughter. It was an attitude of celebration. With God, all things are possible. There was a sense of celebration that my God can do anything. Amen? But watch this. Not just that. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17, The Babylonian army was besieging Jerusalem, and God had already told Jeremiah that they would capture the city and the Israelites would be taken into captivity by Babylon. But God also promised he would eventually bring the Israelites back. And so God told Jeremiah to buy his uncle's field and have the deed transferred before witnesses. It was an act of faith that God would fulfill his promise and bring them home. It looked impossible, but then Jeremiah prayed this. I use this in so many sermons. It's just a part of my mindset. And in preaching, I'll go back to this. And it's Jeremiah 32:17. And it says this, "Oh God, it is you who has made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arms." Declare this with me. Nothing is too hard for you. And then he comes back in verse 27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" You see, God was affirming to Jeremiah, nothing is impossible with God. Now look at me, watch me, listen. Mary knew this story. This was a part of the backstory. It was the phrase from back with Abraham and Sarah, "With God all things are possible." She knows the story of Jeremiah and how the children of Israel went into captivity. "But God, you've made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and nothing is impossible with you." There's another place in the Bible, a couple places, where this same thought carries through, this backstory to what is happening with Mary, Gabriel. It's in Mark 10:27. And Jesus had been talking to them, and he told them, he said, "Listen, it's impossible, it's very difficult for a rich man to be saved." And that was hard for the disciples, because the disciples, a lot like people today, think that people with money, that speaks of God's favor. So if people have money, they've got God's favor. And it kind of rocked their world. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. In other words, it's easier for one of these camels that's out here in the parking lot. You ever heard a camel groan and moan? I have, last year. I wanted to be the first one to get on the camel to make sure they were safe. And when I got on that camel and I brought my leg over and I put my weight down, that camel goes, "Oh." It's easier for that camel. The eye of the needle was a small circular hole in the wall. Once they closed the gates at night, those gates remained closed. And the only way in and out of that wall was through this small circular hole. And a camel would have to get down on its knees, and it would bellow and carry on, and they would try to inch it through this small hole. And what he was saying is it's easier for a camel to get through that small hole in the wall of the city than it is for a rich man. And it shocked the disciples, and they said, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus comes back. He looked at them and said, "With man, it's impossible, but not with God." Declare it with me. "For all things are possible with God." Church, we're called to face our trials, our troubles, our circumstances. We're called to face the impossible with this mindset, with this faith that God can do anything. This Christmas season, God can do anything. This Christmas season, for your marriage, Without God, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And this is a Christmas that your marriage, this is a Christmas for your children. Maybe they're wayward, maybe they're on drugs, maybe they are rebelling, turned their back on God, away from God, out of church. This is the year to believe nothing is impossible with God. You see, it was impossible for you to reach God on your own. So God came to you, and God made the impossible possible. With God, all things are possible. Our salvation is bookend with miracles, a virgin birth and a resurrection from the dead. And with God, all things are possible. Let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, have you received the miracle of Christmas? Are you still trying to silence that still small voice? Are you still trying to approach God through your intellect? Are you still trying to reduce God to religion, to I've been baptized, I'm a church member, I've gone through catechisms? How many times have I told you it doesn't matter if we're Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Catholic, Jewish? It doesn't matter. What matters is what have we done with Jesus? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I'll talk a little more about this next week. We needed a Savior. The world is unraveling, all the sexual harassment, all the things that are coming out. It's just another statement. It's another sign. We need a Savior. Our world is self-destructing. We need a Savior. Are you still trying to intellectually justify? My dad pastored the same church 58 years. I've heard him say it 1,000 times. Hell is going to be full of people who missed heaven by 12 inches. The difference between their head and their heart. They just couldn't get out of their head to believe in their heart. To believe in their heart. See, everything about Jesus is a faith thing, so it stands to reason. We believe in this miracle story. So number one, what have you done? Have you received the miracle Christmas? Here's the second question I'd ask you. What promise are you waiting on? What promise are you waiting on? Maybe you've become tired and discouraged. Listen, God watches over his word to perform it. God is for you. And if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. What promise are you waiting on? Is it a promise that your mom and dad will be saved? Is it a promise that your kids will be saved? It is a promise of God's provision of that new job or new opportunity. Is it a promise of your marriage? What promise are you still waiting on? And then here's my third question. Have you invited God into your impossibility? Have you invited God, the God who says with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible? Have you invited God? You say, Pastor, I have been praying and I have tried and I have struggled and I don't see God working. Can I encourage you? Hold on. invite God into your impossibility one more time, he may not do it the way you anticipated. In fact, there's one more place in Scripture that this whole idea of with God all things are possible. And it's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in Mark 14 and verse 36, it says, and he said, I want you to see this, Mark 14, 36, Abba, Father. This is Jesus declaring this. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. That's what Jesus said. And then he said this, remove this cup from me. God, I don't want to go to the cross. All things are possible. Where'd that come from? It came from this proverb that all through Scripture, the children of Israel understood that with God, all things are possible. And Jesus gets to this place of death and he says, Abba, Daddy, God, God, I'm desperate. All things are possible. Remove this cup. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Spare me from the agony of the cross. Jesus knew nothing was impossible with God, that his Father could save him from the cross and find another way to save the world, and he asked God to do it, but God didn't save him. And Jesus suffered and he died on the cross. But then God raised him from the dead. Why? Because God had a greater miracle in mind. Listen, I don't know what you've been trusting, hoping, praying. Maybe that dream has died. Maybe faith has died. Let it resurrect again this morning. God may not do things exactly the way we want them done, but what I know is this, is God wants to do his greatest work in us. His greatest work was not saving Jesus from the cross. His greatest work was raising Jesus from the dead. And sometimes in our darkest hour, we pray. And we're desperate. And here's what I want to say. Invite God into your impossibility. You say, Pastor, sometimes nothing happens. God still works in the dark. Even when you can't see it, God is working. Have you invited God into your impossibility? Into the middle of your darkest situation? When we pray, God works. When you pray about it, God may do a miracle in the situation, or he may do a miracle in you, but God will work. And I'm here to declare today the gospel story. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Let's stand. And let's give God praise. Let's give God praise today. Clap your hands to say, thank you, Lord. With God, all things are possible.